make a comeback? Can the church make a comeback? Amen. Yes, America can make a comeback. As easy as 1, 2, 3. But it begins with the church. Hallelujah. Daniel 9:1-27, if you want to read, I'll not read it all. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You believe you can understand the Word of God? You believe God intends for us to understand the Word of God? When God told Jeremiah 70 years, Daniel understood it to mean 70 years. If God hadn't have meant 70 years, he wouldn't have said 70 years. Amen. And Daniel understood that. Why is it that we read the Bible oftentimes and try to spiritualize it? Amen. The pulpit commentary is a good commentary. It taught me a whole lot about breaking down chapters and verses and explaining. But they spiritualize about all prophecy. Amen. In fact, most of them that wrote the pulpit commentary, it's kind of a before the beginning of the century, a group of writers wrote it. Amen. And a lot of them, because the Holy Ghost had not fallen as it did later, as of yet, many of them were all millennialists and spiritualized a lot of the Word of God. Amen. 70 years don't mean 70 years. It means it's one of God's perfect numbers, an indefinite period of time, a combination of 7 and 10, etc., etc. 1,000 years don't mean 1,000 years. It means a long and indefinite period of time. And 10 years don't mean 10 years. God means what He says. Amen. In all these scriptures, God means what He says. Now, if there's a spiritual application of the Word of God, God will explain it. He always explains His parables. He always explains His mysteries until they are no longer a mystery. Daniel said, I understood by books. Amen. Daniel, amen, read the book of Jeremiah. He was reading what some other preacher had written. Huh? He said, I understood by books. Praise God. Oh, it's good to be reading the right thing, is it not? Hallelujah. That 70 years would be accomplished in the desolations of Jerusalem. And listen to what he did. When he realized that time was about to take place, that God's time was about to culminate, and it was about to arrive, and it was knocking hard at the door, Daniel didn't want to miss it. He didn't want his people to miss it. He didn't want Israel and Jerusalem to miss it. And so this is what he did. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned. Daniel classed himself right in amongst the sinners here. We have sin, amen, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O
Lord.
Righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near, and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. And on and on and on he prays for forgiveness and mercies. We've not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophets. Verse 10. Amen. And because of that, all of these curses have come upon us. 19th verse. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, do you think tonight, honestly candidly, that if Daniel, one of God's holiest saints, that nobody has ever found anything wrong with except his enemies, if Daniel had to repent before revival and restoration become a reality, do you think we're any better today? Don't you think it'd be good if we would repent? The Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. Amen. If we've got too much religious pride to repent, could it be that we need to repent of that in itself? Lord, forgive me of my religious pride that won't let me repent. Amen. He said, while I was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Amen. God thought so much of Daniel that he called his name years later, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. He said they should but save their own souls by their righteousness. I wouldn't hear them in inferring that God had in extraneous time heard their prayers and used them for great deliverance. Praise God. Amen. But there would come a time that they would only be able to save their own souls. Praise God. Here, this man of God, one of the most perfect in all of the Old Testament, praise God, says, while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel. Did you know the Lord's Prayer? The one he gave us for an outline to pray from time to time says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Did you know that's the only part of that prayer that Jesus enlarged on after he gave it to us? He went on to say after he finished that prayer, for if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And so, tonight, I'd like to give you three steps to the comeback for America. Amen. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Repentance, revelation, and restoration. Praise God. Amen. Daniel first repented. That's why I said repentance starts with the church. If the church sees no need for repentance, then how should the sinner see any need for repentance? If the church no longer uses the word sin, and they blush at the mention of the word sin by the preacher, amen. Yeah. Did you know that the biggest churches in the land, the biggest memberships in the world today, no longer use the word sin? Amen. Rex Humbard, before he retired, he used the word, instead of sin, guilt complex. Amen. The others, they get around using the word sin by various other terms. Amen. But the fact is, sin is sin. Amen. If people of God can't repent, how can the sinner repent? If people of God sit there all stubbed up and puffed up in their religious pride and in their iniquity and in their rebellion against God, oh well, I ain't no worse than the rest of them. I'm just as good as any of the rest of them. That's not the attitude. The most holy man in the Bible, one of them, amen, was confessing his sin because he wanted restoration for Israel. And so he led the way. Praise God. So repentance is necessary. Praise God. Oh, captivity and desolation was rampant. And he realized that sin was the thing that had got them in the mess they was in. Amen. If you think you got it bad in Dayton, Ohio, Mike, you ought to have been Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Taken in chains to Babylon. And dropped down in the midst of Sin City. Right in the middle of Babylon. Man, I'm telling you. Amen. They had to take their stand for God right away. They even gave them new names that dedicated them to their gods. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's not their real names. Amen. They had good godly names, but they changed their names. Daniel was the only one that had enough strength, enough influence. Somehow or other, he maintained his own name for the most part. Oh, they gave him another name. Amen. How many know what Daniel's other name was in Babylon? Hold up your hand. Belteshazzar. That named him after Bel. Amen. After their gods. Praise God. But most of the time they didn't call him Belteshazzar. They called him Daniel. Praise God. Oh, Daniel, the king said, is my God able to deliver thee? Praise God. Daniel maintained his name. The other boys didn't maintain their name, but I want you to know that their name didn't change their nature. They said, we're not careful to answer thee about this thing, O king. Praise God. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, we're still not going to bow down to your image. You might have changed our name from Azariah and Hananiah and Mishael to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. But we're not going to change our allegiance to our God. Woo! You may not have a very good name in the eyes of the world, but just as long as God knows who you are, that's what's going to count. Praise God. Amen. But Daniel repented. He repented for himself. He repented for Israel. And then came that great revelation. Amen. And while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, amen, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Amen. about the time of the evening offering. Hallelujah. And informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel." Amen. Even Gabriel recognized his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even Gabriel called him Daniel. Amen. I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined, amen, upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Amen. When he gave Daniel that revelation of 70 years of God's continuous dealing with Israel, or 70 years of God's dealing with Israel, though not so continuous at times, broken off by a recess or two. Amen. Hallelujah. When they were in captivity again, praise God. But God told him how the revelation was going to be fulfilled. He told him how he was going to deliver Israel. He told him how long. He told him when. He told him when it would end. And all of this was supposed to be a comfort to Daniel and the people of God. That's why God gave us a book of Revelation. Did you know God didn't give us a book of Revelation to scare us to death unless we're sinners? He gave us a book of Revelation to comfort us. Praise God. He didn't give us the promise of His return to scare us out of our hide. Amen. And a lot of Christians today, if they thought He was coming in the next half hour, amen, it would destroy their evening. Amen. I mean, they've got so much unfinished business, it would take more than a half hour to do it. Praise God. I tell you, we need to be prayed up. We need to stay ready. We need to stay in a ready condition, praise God. He told him how and how long. He told him when it would all end. Amen. And the comfort of it all belonged to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the saints down through the ages. Daniel's revelation is still a comfort and an enlightenment to the children of God. Amen. We know, praise God, that 69th week ended when the Messiah was cut off. Hallelujah. Praise God. A friend of mine, good brother, said the Lord showed him that the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry was the first half of Daniel's 70th week. Amen. And that the abomination of desolation was Calvary. And I sat at my table and explained to him how that could not be. Because the Bible says he'd be cut off at the end of the 69th week, not in the middle of the 70th. Amen. And I said he can't be killed after 69 weeks. Amen. And be killed after the middle of the 70th week. Amen. Can't be killed both times. And he said, "I can see that." About 2 or 3 years later, he came back to my house, sitting at the same table, amen, and same discussion going on, and he said, "The Lord showed me, amen, that the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week was Christ's ministry, and that the abomination of desolation was the crucifixion of Christ." And we've only got 3.5 years left. Amen. Of Daniel's 70th week. Oh boy. Amen. You just get into all kinds of problems. Amen. You don't have any time for Joel to finish his revival with the Jews. Because in the beginning of that 70th week, Joel chapter 2 is going to be a more complete fulfillment. Amen. He said, I'll show wonders in the heavens, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. That hadn't happened yet. I'll pour out my spirit upon my servants and my handmaidens. Amen. And they shall prophesy. Amen. And I'll show wonders in the heavens, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. And the moon, sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. That hasn't happened yet. I know there are some super spiritual people, amen, that say that the moon is the Pope or some other hierarchy, amen, and the sun is somebody else, and the stars are a whole bunch of preachers, amen. But you got to stretch your credulity pretty far in order to preach that. I'll tell you the trouble with spiritualizing too much scripture. When you get to spiritualizing too much scripture and saying, the Lord showed me, pretty soon it's anybody's ball game. Anybody wants to say who the Lord showed me, anybody that wants to spiritualize a little bit, anybody that wants to spell it out and start him a whole new shirt-tail denomination, amen, and that's how a bunch of them got started. The trouble is, amen, when they learned better years later and preached other parts of the full gospel and fundamental truth, they couldn't change it because they had already wrote it down as cardinal doctrine and truth. And wrote it into their bylaws of their denomination that we believe. Amen. That's why the First Church of God has such a spiritual interpretation of the whole book of Revelation that most of them haven't got nerve enough to preach what they really believe about it. Amen. I mean, once in a while you'll have a young First Church of God preacher, amen, that'll get up on the radio and tell what they really believe. Amen. That salvation, I heard one of them just going to town, amen, a few years ago on one of our local all gospel stations, amen. And he said, salvation is the first resurrection. Because the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Boy, boy, boy. You just get into all kinds of problems when you teach that. Amen. But they'll build on a faulty foundation, and they'll have to prop up another faulty a prop in order to build on that. And then the first thing you know, they've got a rickety doctrine that's going to fall all to pieces with the fulfillment thereof. Amen. The Bible didn't tell us all these wondrous truths for us to wrest them and twist them to our own consternation and fear and destruction. Amen. And curse. But he gave them to us to be a blessing to us and a comfort to us. Amen. And then restoration. Restoration of what? All things. Praise God. Israel is going to be restored. Jerusalem is going to be restored. I personally believe, amen, as long as the church stays in this world, that from time to time, that nucleus of the church is going to be restored. The true nucleus of the body of Christ, those Bible-believing saints that they call radical fundamentalists today, amen, they'll witness restoration. They'll witness revival. They'll witness renewal. There'll be others sitting back, amen, maybe belong to the same church. Amen, got all kinds of ideas on how the church ought to go and what they ought to do at the church, and they hardly ever come. Amen. And when God moves, they just sit back their eyes like a frog in a hailstorm, and they don't hardly know what's going on. They missed it. Swing of the button. They missed the move of God. Praise God. You see, if the church is not the first to repent, God can come by and we won't know it. Jesus could come to Nazareth and we won't know who he is. Jesus can walk right into Capernaum and Bethsaida and we won't realize who came. Some will say a prophet. Some will say John the Baptist raised from the dead. Amen. Oh yes, some will say this, some will say that, and some will say something else. But that nucleus will say, when he says, who do you say that I am? Amen. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. That little bunch that's believing, praise God. Jesus say, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. It's been very difficult for me to understand because, you know, we think in terms of numbers, great crowds. Amen. A mighty move of God should always be capitalized by great crowds and great interest and great enthusiasm. Amen. But Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Jesus did a little shouting and made a statement. He said, oh, Father, I rejoice that thou hast revealed these things unto babes and hid it from the wise and prudent. He looked around at the few and rejoiced in spirit that they saw the light. What I couldn't understand was why he rejoiced in spirit that God had hid it from the rest of them. Amen. We might not ought to go too far on that. Amen. We get into that scripture where Jesus said, cast not your pearls before swine. Why? Swine don't appreciate pearls. Cast not thy pearl before swine. Amen. Carnal people don't appreciate spiritual things. They make jokes about spiritual things. They make jokes about men of God. Amen. They make jokes about the church. Cast not your pearl before swine. Oh, that's probably as far as we ought to go on that. Amen. It's up to us to decide what nature we're going to have when it comes to spiritual things. I love the things of the Spirit, don't you? Praise God. Oh yes, cast not your pearl before swine, because they'll trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. They neither appreciate the gift or the giver. Amen. And too many times Israel, God's people, in name only, they didn't appreciate the gift of God's prophets or the giver who sent them. Amen. Oh God. Amen. Can America make a comeback? Yes. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Repentance, which starts with the church. Revelation, which comes to those that prepare their hearts. And restoration to those that wait for it. Hallelujah. While there are some of Daniel's prophecies in the 9th chapter that still await fulfillment for the nation of Israel, there is nothing awaiting fulfillment for the church of the living God. There is an immediate promise for the recipients of divine grace, a revival for the church. Amen. A churchly revival, if you please. A revival locally. A local revival, if you please. And a revival nationally from time to time. America's had bad times before, but revival saved the day. Amen. Hallelujah. And revival usually starts with a preacher. Amen. Who, glory to God. Jonah, after he gets done repenting down in the whale's belly, amen, and the whale takes him on a long trip over to where he should have been to start with, amen, And the whale sticks out his tongue, one preacher said, and Jonah walked it like a gangplank. Amen. And when he did, he was on the right side of the Mediterranean where he belonged. You know, if you repent, God will put you where you belong. You feel like you missed it? You repent, God will put you right where you belong. Huh? Amen. Preacher missed it, lost out with God. Amen. Pray through down there in the whale's belly. Praise God. And you come to yourself out here on the land. Amen. You walk that gangplank and the revelation comes. And you know what the revelation will be. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And you know what the word of the Lord that came to Jonah the second time was? It was just exactly what came to him the first time. Amen. God didn't alter it one iota. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, if that preacher prays through and gets right with God, and the Word of God comes to him the second time, it'll be just the same as it was the first time. Amen. Mark is testifying tonight about praying through, and when the Word of the Lord came to him in Terea the second time, amen, it was that same old holiness message they had the first time. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so he said, go and tell Nineveh. He didn't have one word of encouragement for Nineveh. Yea, in 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh. Amen. But something out of the ordinary happened. Amen. Nineveh believed God. I mean, it'd be hard to get a church to vote 100% unanimous. Amen. Some preacher come in here smelling like fish, saying God sent him, got swallowed by a whale. Amen. And he comes and he's just barely got the seaweeds from around his neck. Amen. And glory to God, he's declaring, hey, amen, in 40 days, God's going to do something in the Highway of Holiness Church. Amen. Bible said, let the prophets speak two or three. Amen. And let others judge. Tremendous responsibility being a preacher. Amen. Too many times we got more judges than we've got participants. Amen. When we ought to be moving, we're still judging. Amen. We don't need to take too long to judge. Come on. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. Nineveh wasn't all that spiritual, I want you to know. But as slick as 1, 2, 3, praise God, Jonah repented. Jonah got the revelation a second time. Amen. And Jonah preached to Nineveh. Nineveh repented. Hallelujah. And a whole city-wide revival took place. And the preacher didn't even shout about it. Can you imagine that? He went up on the hill to watch them all get killed. Amen. He went up on the hill to watch the Lord rain fire and brimstone on him. Amen. While he was up there on the hill, why, a gourd vine grew over his head. Amen. God sheltered him from the Middle Eastern sun. Amen. Under that gourd vine. Oh, glory to God. That's so Brother McQueen could come along years later and saying, come out from under the gourd vine, preacher. Tell the people what they got to do. You got to preach. Got to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Jonah laid back under his gourd vine and he woke up the next morning. Same God that had sent a gourd vine to cover him up. Things can change quick. And usually they do change quick. Amen. God sent a worm and cut his gourd vine down. Didn't take long for that fragile plant to wither away until Jonah was totally without shade. Amen. And Jonah, he kindly had words with God about his gourd vine. God said, you mean that you're more interested in your gourd vine than you are 110,000 little kids that don't know their right hand from their left, that are going to die in the destruction of Nineveh with all the rest of these sinners. Amen. Oh, God. Praise God. That's why Daniel repented. Because there was a new generation coming on that needed to know the touch of God. Hallelujah. Us old timers need to get where we need to be with God. If we have to repent, whatever we got to do, we need to get the power of God in our lives. Woo, glory to God. Amen. I was glad to see it, Taria, the other night coming shouting off of that piano stand after the first verse. Praise God. Amen. Come and shout over there. If we don't get the blessing of God in our life, what in the world are our children going to see to measure up to? Amen. Let's stand and let's pray tonight. Father, amen. As easy as 1, 2, 3, Jonah had revival. Lord, in the book of Hosea tells us, come, let us return to the Lord, for He hath torn. He'll heal us. He hath smitten and He'll bind us up. After 2 days He'll revive us. In the third day He'll raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Lord, send the rain one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. As they sing, we invite you to your altar of prayer. Repent for the church across the board. Repent for America across the board. Amen. Not only is America in bad shape, but we have become victims of the spirit that is loose in the air today. We become affected more or less. Our school children, our school, amen, is tainted and colored by the spirit of the hour. Let's pray one for another. Let's pray for restoration. Let's pray for a national move of God. Amen. That starts in a churchly fashion right at our altar. Praise God.